Today, I'm preaching a message called The Name, okay? And it's weird that, I don't know if like maybe you have a place where God speaks to you most often. Has anybody got a place where God speaks to you the most often? It's kind of like, not necessarily that you have to go there to hear from God, but it's like every time you find yourself in that place, you're hearing from Him. For me, that's in the shower. Like, I don't know why. If I don't turn on music, God speaks to me in the shower. But sometimes I turn on music because I want to worship. And you know, we're all good singers in the shower. Amen? Right? I mean, everybody's a good singer in the shower. So I'm in the shower the other day, and God kind of gives me a word for a pastor friend of mine. And I was like, okay. Well, I was going down to work on my sermon that morning. And so I went down and I called him and I shared it with him. And, you know, said that, yeah, that's what he needed to hear. So God also gave me this word about this this text here about the name. He's like, preach on the name. Preach on the name of Jesus. And I'm like, you know, sometimes I'm like, God, everybody knows the name of Jesus. You know, this is kind of old hat. Give me something new. And he's like, my word is just as powerful, is just as effective this time as it would be the last time, and as it will be the next time. He's like, preach the word, preach out of Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, that Jesus has a name that is above every name. So that's what you're getting today. When you think about names, right? Name creates identity, okay? It's who you are, it's how you are identified. Most of you, as you came in this morning, if I was not busy, I called you out by name. I said, hi, Bud, right? Hi, Lacey. It was by name. That's how I know you. You guys know me. What's my name? Tim, right? You guys, you know me as Tim. And once you learn that, then you can say, yeah, that's Tim. If somebody sees me at Walmart in the crowd and they don't know me, they don't have any idea who I am until they learn my name. Then the name becomes associated with this face or with this voice, right? Or with my the way I walk. A friend of ours, we are pretty sure, I haven't asked, he's from Effingham, I haven't seen him for a while. Me and Christy are pretty sure he bought a house on Route 40. Okay, I thought I saw him out in the yard working, and I was like, huh, that's weird. I thought he lived like over by Dietrich or something. Well, Christy went to Effingham a few days later, and she told Xander, yeah, I'm pretty sure that was him. I could tell by his walk. You know, and Xander teased her about it. Like, what do you mean you can tell by his walk? It's like, you can just tell. You know, it's something you can identify, but you got to know the name to identify with the person. And so you might know things about me. When you met me and you learned my name was Tim, maybe there was somebody else in your life, in your past life, or even in your current life, also named Tim. And I may have been judged based on that other Tim and what he had done or how he was. I don't know if you guys got any names like that where you're like, you meet somebody with a certain name and you're like, there's this girl in high school with that name and she was a total pain in the neck, right? It's like, this is the name association. You kind of automatically go there, and it could be good, it could be bad. Sometimes people don't look like their name. You guys ever have that? Where you're like, they don't look like they should have that name. Me and Xander were in Walmart. This was a few months ago. And we saw this guy working in Walmart. And I don't even remember what I said his name was. I was like, that guy looks like a something. And Xander's like, no, that's not it. And so we came up with a couple names we thought that he might be. Now, we did not stalk him. We did not follow him around Walmart. But we saw him like three more times. And if you know anything about those guys, when they work at Walmart, they're generally in the same area for a long time if they're stocking things. But it's like everywhere we'd go, we'd see this guy. And I finally saw his name, and I wish I could recall what it was now, but saw his name, and I was like, yes, that's exactly what he looks like, right? It's like you kind of associate people like that. Sometimes you may associate a name with reputation, right? You may, the things that you've heard about them, whether it's true or not. And so I do that sometimes. Christy would tell me about people at work, you know, in a good way. Even she'd just be telling me about the people at work. And it's like, at some point, you feel like you know these people, right? You're like, yeah, I know Vicky. Like, I know her. I know Kim. I know these people she works with because I hear about them every week. And then I saw them, and I was like, that's not them, right? That's not Vicky and Kim. That's not what they look like. And Christy's like, yeah, I work with them. That's them. And I'm like, but that's not what I had pictured in my mind. They look nothing like what I had imagined. And I think that's where a lot of our world is at with Jesus today. I think that Jesus doesn't necessarily look like what they imagined he would look like. I think that they don't really associate the name of Jesus with the work of Jesus. They're like, that's not what I would think that a God would be like, right? We hear stuff like that, like a loving God wouldn't send people to hell. They have these things where they're like, that's not what I would associate him as. That's not how I picture him in my mind. They have these things. See, they've heard the name. And then they have these things about him, these good things, bad things. Some are true, some are not. And then sometimes those people will meet Jesus. They have an encounter with Jesus and they're like, he looks nothing like what I had imagined, right? Because a lot of times we have these things about Jesus. Turns out they may not be true. Do you know that there's no name like the name of Jesus? Amen. You guys know that? There's no name like the name of Jesus. I want to say that there's no name that stirs up people like the name of Jesus, right? I mean, we have this idea that Jesus, you know, he came to save the world, and so, like, man, everybody should love the name of Jesus. It should be this great thing, but there's no name that's more divisive that we can speak than the name of Jesus. You know that? I know it kind of doesn't make sense, but Jesus actually even told us that, right? He told us that you think that I came to bring peace, but I actually came to bring division, right? And he goes on to talk about the family, that mother against daughter and father against son and all this stuff. And it's not like that wasn't his goal. He's not trying to break up things. He's saying when people come to know Jesus, people that are in darkness are not going to accept that until they know it. It's going to cause division. The people that don't know Jesus and love Jesus, right? There are some who are in wonder and awe when they hear the name Jesus, right? Your heart just kind of leaps and it makes you feel good. And you're like, yes, Jesus. There are others that hear that name and they are immediately filled with rage and with hate. And they try to throw him out, get him out, change the topic, change the discussion. Stop proclaiming that name. This name Jesus tends to divide. But I want to tell you also, you know, we hear this thing about military, about war, this divide and conquer. And I tell you that the name Jesus may divide, but he also conquered. Now the hope and the goal is that he'll conquer all who will submit to him. Today we're going to look at this word here, this name of Jesus. We're going to look at why is it like this? What is with this name and why it causes division even among families? Why would that be? And so we're going to be in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. This morning, and it goes like this. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, those of the earth, and of those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There's this old hymn. I don't remember a lot of them, but I know some of them. And this is one that I remember. It says, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Any of you guys know that one? There's just something about that name. What is it about that name? What is in that name? If you know him as Lord and Savior, doesn't that name bring you to a place of safety? Doesn't that name bring you to a place of security? Proverbs 18:10 said, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it, and they are safe. I was thinking about other songs that we sing. We sing a lot of songs about the name of Jesus. One of my favorites, it's kind of an older contemporary song, but it's a good one, is there is power in the name of Jesus. Amen. Right? You guys believe that? Yes. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power to break every chain. See, this name, in Luke chapter 10, verse 17, he had sent out the 70, and if you remember when they came back, do you remember what they were really excited about? They said, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name."
Amen.
Right? So it wasn't just that the demons were subject to him, but why were they subject? Because of the name of Jesus. There's another story, the sons of Sceva. It's one of my favorite stories, but it's funny, not funny. One of those stories, right? These sons of Sceva, and they come and they're trying to cast out demons in the name of Jesus, but they didn't know Jesus, right? And the demons that were in these people said, "Paul, we know, and Jesus, we know, but who are you?" And the text says that they left wounded and naked, that these demons beat them up. These people possessed by demons beat them up, stripped them of their clothes, and they left wounded and naked. That's the part that's always funny to me, is I'm just like, it's not just that they got beat up, but it's like, you know, that's pretty bad shape. But it comes back to that name. But you got to have connection to the power of that name. You can't just proclaim the name. Mark 16, 17, Jesus himself said that these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. He says it's things that we will be able to do if we believe in him. Cast out demons. There's power to break every chain. Every chain of bondage, every chain of stronghold, they can be broken in that name. One of the newer songs that we sing by Mosaic says that your name is a light that the shadows can't deny. Right? Because what is light? Light casts out darkness. Right? If you turn on the light, the darkness has to leave. Has to leave or go hide in the corner or under the couch, right? It has to leave. It has to be dispersed. It goes on to say that your name is alive, forever lifted high, right? Forever lifted high. There will never be a name that is greater than the name of Jesus. There will never be a name that can overcome it. Acts 4:12 tells us there is not salvation in any other, for there is no other, what? Name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Romans 10:13, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This name is so powerful, it's so precious, it's so pivotal. Listen, I'm just going to tell you, church, this is where my heart's been for the last 6.5, almost 7 years, is that, man, everything we do has to come back to that name. I mean, everything we do has to come back to that name. I believe in the gifts of the Spirit. I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe in the sovereignty of God. I believe in knowledge of the Word. I believe in all these things. I believe in order. I believe in structure. I believe in craziness in the Holy Spirit, because sometimes God does things that you don't expect. But I believe that none of that matters if it's not all rooted in the name of Jesus. It has to come back to the name, right? I'm going to tell you that when Jesus came and saved, raised from the dead, and he left and sent the Holy Spirit, that wasn't a substitution. That wasn't substitution that we don't need Jesus anymore, it's all Holy Spirit. It all comes back to Jesus. The Spirit testifies of the Son.
Yeah.
And so we have to be rooted and grounded in this name. It's important. This name is where salvation is found. It's where freedom is found. It's where security is found. I didn't write it down verbatim, but I had this quote from Johnny Cash that I actually shared yesterday that said, anybody that's searching for truth will wind up at the name of Jesus. Uh-huh. Like, that's where you're going to come back to. You can search for truth, but if you find it, that's where you will end up at, is back at the name of Jesus. He's our hope, right? If we're hoping for something better in this life, Jesus is the answer, right? There's a reason, a real reason, that much of our world is against this name. Can I tell you that a lot of the things that we see going on in the government, a lot of the things that we see going on in our world right now, they are demonic. Yes. They are darkness. Right? Whenever we're way more focused on slipping in funding for Planned Parenthood into a stimulus package, that's demonic. That is darkness, because see, the way that things are done is the devil will package things where they look good from their initial appearance until you start to dig in and find out where are the roots, where is this really going? And so, yeah, it'd be great if everybody gets another check from the government, but is it worth it if they're also going to pass funding Planned Parenthood on the back side of it that most of the people getting that money in their account will never even realize? No, it's not worth it. That's darkness, and we reject that in the name of Jesus. I'm just telling you that there's all kinds of darkness going on in the background. It's why our world is against that name. You can talk about any kind of religious figure that you want in a public platform. Just don't mention the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, we still have schools where, and I don't know that our school necessarily would adhere to this, but we have schools that the valedictorian, salutatorian, they have to turn in their speech beforehand, so they got to make sure that it doesn't say the name of Jesus in it. It's like, that's their speech. Like, you let them say what they want to say. They earned that right, that honor. God highly exalted him and gave him the name, which is above every name. Say the name.
Amen.
Right? It's about the name. The name was given to him. Matthew 1:21. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Why Jesus? Why of all the names that could be named, why Jesus? I mean, why not Donald? Donald sounds like a very good name. Donald sounds like the kind of name of a person that God would send to save his people, doesn't it? I think so. I think he did. Not in this way. Jesus. Why not Donald? Why not Bud? Why not Wyatt? Why not Wyatt? That's kind of fun to say. Say that. Why not Wyatt?
Why not
Wyatt? Something you guys actually did. That's fun, isn't it? It's like it's almost a tongue twister, but not quite. But why not these other names? Why the name of Jesus? This name Jesus, it's a special name. It's Hebrew meaning is it's derived from a couple words that means Jehovah is salvation.
Yes.
Jehovah is salvation, and in the Old Testament English, it's translated to Joshua. Now, when we think about Joshua, I want to tell you that, you know, Joshua had a very special role in the Old Testament.
Yes.
The Old Testament is amazing, church, because the Old Testament, we're all about the Old Testament because here's what it does. It all points to Jesus.
Amen.
It all points to this name. Every bit of it, as weird as some of it is, in a way, somehow, it brings us back to the name of Jesus. Some of the really weird and dark stuff doesn't make a lot of sense, but basically what it's pointing out in a nutshell is that there is evil all over the world and we need a Savior whose name is Jesus, right? It all points to him, but Joshua had this special role. We think about the children of Israel, we automatically think of who is their leader? Moses, right? That's where we come back to. Moses. Moses is the one that freed them. Moses is the one that led them around. Moses is the one that went up the mountain and did all these things. But there's something about Moses is that he freed the people from captivity, but he was not the people to lead them into the promised land. It was a man named Joshua. You know what I love about Joshua? This is the first time that I really clued in on Joshua, where I really started kind of studying about Joshua and what's up with this guy. It was just a few years ago when I was reading about the tent of meeting. And they set this tent up outside the camp, and Moses would go there, and Joshua is kind of Moses' right-hand man. You know, he kind of, his protege, the one he was kind of training. And Moses would come back to the camp, and Joshua would stay in the tent of meeting. He did not want to leave the Lord's presence. He's basically like, dude, you can go wherever you want. I'm just going to stay here. I'm going to hang out here. And, I saw that when God kind of showed me that. I was like, man, Joshua. You know, we talk about David as a man after God's own heart. I think Joshua was a man after God's own heart. He would stay in the tent of meeting just to be in God's presence. But these people, would wander around the wilderness for years, right? 40 years they wander around, they're tired. When you think about these people, remember that these are people without a home, right? They're not just like, they're not camping. They're not. This isn't a vacation. Like, they left their home and they're supposed to be going to their new home, and yet they're just wandering around the wilderness. These are people without a home. These are people that were lost. And Joshua led them to a place of rest. He took them home. You know what that all is? That's a picture of our world today. It's a picture of our world today, that our world is full of wanderers. It's full of people who are tired and lost, wandering around, people without a home, looking for rest. We know that Jesus came to make a way. Right? He came to make a way for us to cross the river like they did for the children of Israel. He made a way for us to go through the valley, for us to go up the mountain, for us to get past the enemy, for us to take this place of rest to our home. But it comes down to, are people willing to follow? Are the people willing to follow, or are we just going to continue to wander around and look for something better? You ever played that game, Follow the Leader? If we didn't have the social distance, we'd do it right now. Like, as an experiment, because I'm going to tell you something that I think would be true even of us adults. There's going to be somebody that's not going to follow the leader. There's going to be somebody that's got a better idea, that's got a better plan, a better way, or quite frankly, doesn't want to follow somebody else. Right? In some way, shape, or form, is going to do his own thing, and in doing their own thing, going somewhere they shouldn't, guess what else they're going to do? They're going to lead somebody else astray. Somebody else is going to be like, oh, he's going that way, I'm going that way too. See you guys later. Right? That's kind of how that game Follow the Leader ends up working, especially in school. I remember as a kid, it'd be like you basically end up having two whole different groups, two whole different camps, because somebody doesn't want to follow the leader anymore. But Jesus was given this name. He was given this name as Savior. He is salvation, something for us to trust in. He is the one that we are supposed to follow. Right? He told the disciples, follow me. He's the leader. This name, what's great about this name too, is that it's not just this name that he was given, this name of rescuer, this name of the one who would lead us into rest, into our home, but this is the name above every name. Have you ever really thought about what that means? Have you ever really thought about what does it mean that it's above every name? I mean, does that just mean it's the best name? It's of all the names, like, it's the best, it's the coolest, it's the one. Like, what does it mean? Jesus is the name above every name. Right? This is the name we use to identify who our God is. Right? I mean, I'll just be honest with you. When I'm praying, there's a lot of times I just say God. I don't always say the name of Jesus. There's times where I preach and maybe I say God, or maybe I say the Holy Spirit or something more than I say Jesus. But I'm going to tell you what, when I get around people who never say the name of Jesus and they only say God, I don't stay very long. Because I start to wonder, are we praying to the same God? Are we talking to the same God? I want to identify to make sure that my God is Jesus. Right? That's part of why that name is so powerful. It's identifying that my God is Jesus, because somebody who worships Allah will call him God. And if you just say God, like, they may think you're talking about the same God. And we're clearly not. At least for me, I'm clearly not. This is how we identify our God. And in Acts chapter 17, we see Paul, he comes into Athens, okay, in Greece. And so he comes in here and he sees this altar. And the altar was set up for worship and it had a sign on it in all caps that said, to an unknown God. They worshiped a God they could not identify. It's not just that they didn't know him personally, they didn't even know his name. And unknown God. Would you believe me that if I told you that everybody believes in God? Everybody believes in God. Everybody believes in somebody, even if it's just themselves. Even if they are their own God or an unknown God. We identify God as Jesus, the name above every other name. This word above, I'm going to tell you what it means here. The Greek word is hyper, spelled like hyper. It means beyond, more than, and it means exceedingly abundantly above. Jesus is exceedingly abundantly above. If that sounds familiar, it's because it's in my second favorite Bible verse. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him, Jesus, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to his power that works in us. You know why he's able to do exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask or think? You know why he's able to do that? Because he is exceedingly and abundantly more than we could ever even think. It's who he is. His nature is he is that much greater. What we've got to remember is this, we're not just speaking of a power that Jesus possesses. We're talking about this is his identity. It's who he is. He is powerful. Have you ever thought about who the most powerful man on earth is? I think about weird stuff. Maybe you guys don't have these kinds of like times where you just sit around and think about weird stuff like this. Like, who's that guy who can make anything happen? You ever think about it? Well, according to Forbes magazine, it would be Vladimir Putin. He's been named world's most powerful man 2 years in a row. World's most powerful man. I suspect in Russia, he definitely could make anything happen. He probably maybe could do that in all of Asia. I don't know if he could do it in all the world. I don't know for sure if I would name him the world's most powerful man, but I would say that he is a very powerful man, that he probably does have the ability to do a lot of things. Some people may say the Queen of England, right, has a lot of power, can make anything happen at the snap of her fingers, besides control one of her grandsons who defected to the U.S. because we're better, right, like all the rest of us did. But we see that she has a lot of power. We were watching a TV show the other night, and there's this king who had an affair with this American woman. The king ended up dying in his foreign country, and they were coming for the boy, right? The woman had a boy out of wedlock with this king, and so the boy was the next heir to the throne. And so they're coming for the boy. They want the boy to come back and be the king. I mean, imagine that. Just all of a sudden you get a call, right? Donald, you get a call like next week, and it's like, listen, dude, you are the king of, you know, Saudi Arabia. You don't really look like you would be, but let's just say, for the sake of the illustration, you're the king. We need you to come and take your place on the throne. You need to come lead your people. I mean, think about it. All the power that you get with that, all the wealth that you get with that, all the control that you get with that. I mean, there has to be some level of temptation to take that position. I mean, I told them last night, as the kid's sitting there thinking about whether he wants to do it or not, I'm like, I'd at least try it, right? I mean, you're the king. You don't even got to sell what you have here. Just be like, I might come back, guys. Just, you know, somebody check the water, you know, for me once in a while in the winter. Make sure it doesn't freeze over. Go see if you can be the king. But think about this, how much power that person would have. Now, today in our world, there's probably not a lot of single individual people that are, we could say, are all-powerful, right? Like, it's not like like in the Roman Empire. Back then, the leader was all-powerful. I mean, they basically controlled the world. I don't know that any one person has that kind of power today, but collectively, countries are very powerful. One could argue that the United States of America is the most powerful country that there is, and basically we could do anything that we wanted if we decided to do it. We could say that there are definitely coalitions of countries that could be all-powerful. I think that in my opinion, that we are probably the most powerful. I think that we are the best nation. Amen? Amen. I think that we are probably the most powerful, and again, we are the nation with freedom and stakes. Remember? Freedom and stakes, right? We are the best nation, okay? However, I want to say something. God has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every other name. And when it talks about every name, I want to tell you that means individually and collectively. There's no individual that is greater than the name of Jesus. But I want to tell you there is no country that is greater than the name of Jesus. There's no coalition of countries that are greater than the name of Jesus. If all the world, all the countries would come together to fight against the name of Jesus, guess who's going to win? Jesus. He's more powerful than every name. He's greater and above every name. Listen to this. Jesus is the bright and morning star. He is our great high priest. He is the rock of our salvation. He's the bread of life. He's the good shepherd. He is the Lamb of God, the way, the truth, and the life, the great I am, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Word of God, the Prince of Peace. This is our God, exceedingly, abundantly, greater than every other name of any individual, of any collection of people that could ever be named. That's who Jesus is. And it says, at that name, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Of those in heaven, those on the earth, those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. At the name. Say, at the name.
At the name.
Okay, at the name of Jesus, everyone should bow. Amen. Now, does that mean that every time somebody says the name of Jesus, that we have to bow the knee, right? Like, every time, you hear my knee crack? I can only do that once. Maybe I shouldn't do that anymore. I gotta finish. Should we bow every time we hear the name of Jesus? Because that's what it says. At the name of Jesus, everyone should bow. No. That's not what it means. Some of you guys wouldn't behave. You guys would just keep saying Jesus just to watch me up here, like trying to preach, doing this all the time. You guys know how it is. I mean, at a wedding reception, you know those people? Ding, 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 ding. The ones that are tapping their glass all the time so the bride and the groom have to kiss again. Is that still a thing? It was when we got married, and it annoyed the tar out of us. Right? Half of my family, we're sitting there trying to eat our meal. Ding, 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 ding. I'm like, listen, I'm getting ready to get up and ding, ding each one of you guys, right? This is getting annoying. We're trying to eat. Some of you guys would be like that if we had to bow at the name of Jesus. When it says at the name, listen, at the name is specifically speaking of revelation. At the revelation of the name of Jesus. Revelation is when something that is hidden becomes revealed. It doesn't mean every time you hear the name of Jesus, you have to bow. It says that when that name is revealed to you, to your heart, when it's revealed to you that Jesus is God, He's the Messiah, He is the Savior, when this is revealed to you, you will bow your knee.
Amen.
This means to submit. Right? That's what it means. That's a sign of submitting when you bow your knee before someone of authority, is I submit to you. You will yield to His power at the revelation of His exceedingly abundantly powerful name and nature. You defer to Him. You confess Him as Lord. Can I tell you that when you receive this revelation of who Jesus is, you will bow your knee. You will submit. You will confess that He is Lord. Because I'm going to tell you, once your eyes are open to it, you can't help but to submit. This is what so many are missing, church. It's the revelation. So many people are missing the revelation. You know, I get asked all the time if a person's saved. Ultimately, do I know for sure? No, I don't. But here's how I know. If you have the revelation that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, that He is God, you have to bow your knee. You have to submit. It's scriptural. It's true. This is basically a promise or a guarantee that if you have the revelation that you will submit to Him. People are missing this revelation. Is it that he's not here? No, he's here. He's present. Is it that he's not available? No, he's available. Is it that he's not accessible? He's accessible. You may even know the name, but maybe don't know who he is. And I know probably most of the people in this room do know who he is, but have you ever seen this? There's a show, maybe it's not still on, I don't know, we haven't had cable for a few years, but there's this show, Undercover Boss. And I really like that show because what would happen is the boss would come, and he would probably be disguised, and he would come and he would work, right? You know how he worked? Undercover, right? The boss would be undercover. That's where they get the name from. It really was genius that they came up with that name. But he would do the work among the people. So he would come and he would fit right in. Now, the people that worked there probably knew his name. I don't know how many of you guys work in a company that's so big that you know the person's name, but maybe you're not familiar with them. Maybe you don't have regular interactions. These are the kinds of companies we're generally talking about here. So they would know his name. They might even know what he looked like, but they didn't recognize him when he came. He didn't look like the boss. He didn't act like the boss. He was working with the people. He was getting his hands dirty. He was serving. As a matter of fact, he would take orders from another. So what was he doing? He was temporarily giving up his power, giving up his authority to be among the people, and yet the people didn't recognize him. Until when? Until he was revealed. Does that story sound familiar? Does it sound familiar that Jesus came to work among the people? He came to serve. He came to get his hands dirty. He temporarily gave up his power and authority to take orders from the Father. And the people didn't recognize him. Many still don't. And they won't until he's revealed to them. Listen, church, if we should be praying for anything for other people, above all other things, we should be praying that Jesus Christ be revealed to them. That their eyes be open to who he is, because every knee will bow, those in heaven, in the earth, and under the earth. You know, a day is coming, right? A day is coming where every created being, the angels in heaven, the people of the earth, the demons who are going to be bound to hell, do you know that there's a time where every single one of them will have the revelation that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Every one of them will have the revelation that there is no other name, that he is unlike any other, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And on that day, can I tell you that every one of them will submit? It says that they will all bow the knee. They will all submit. Everyone will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now hear me clearly. That does not mean that every person will be saved, and anybody that preaches that is preaching damnable doctrine. It does not mean that everybody will be saved. But I thought that you confess Jesus as Lord, you will be saved. It says everybody will confess. Ah, but you also have to believe in your heart. These people will confess it because it will be revealed to them. They will admit it. They will not deny it. But they also may not accept it. Revelation 1:7 tells us, "Behold, he is coming with the clouds. And every eye," how many eyes?
Every
eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Why would people be mourning? Because those people are not saved. Amen. Those people recognize him when it's too late. They recognize him, but yet they know they still won't accept him. There's something within them that they would refuse to submit. Revelation 19:16 tells us that he has this name on his robe and on his thigh. What is it? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The King of Kings The Lord of Lords. You know what that says? You know what that stands for? The name above every name.
Amen.
It's the King above all the earthly kings. It's the Lord above all the earthly and spiritual lords of all dominion. He's the King of them all. He's the Lord of them all. He is the name above every name. And here we declare this name. When we declare the name of Jesus, we declare His lordship over our lives. You guys realize that? When we stand up and we declare the name of Jesus, we're declaring that He is Lord of our lives. Listen. Demons, sickness, poverty, defeat, anything that can be named must submit to His lordship.
Amen.
They must. I think we lose sight of that sometimes because we're like, well, they can. No, they must. Because He is the name above all names. This means that what is wrong is made right when we proclaim the name of Jesus. What has been done in the spiritual, I pray this all the time, what you've already done in the spiritual, Lord, we ask it to manifest in the physical. Like, you've already done the work on the cross. When He said it was finished, He wasn't just talking about salvation of man. He's also talking about, I got the name of all names.
Yes.
I've got the name of all names. I'm the Lord of Lords. I'm the King of Kings. There is no other that can compare to me. This is how we enforce the victory of the lordship of Jesus in our lives, by declaring that name that is above every other name. Every time we declare it, we're declaring it in all three realms too. To the heavens, to the earth, and to the under earth. We're declaring that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Nobody else. Would you stand with me this morning? John 14:13, Jesus told us, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Ask in His name, that powerful name, that name that's above all names. So this morning, if you'd close your eyes for a moment, got a couple, three things that the Lord laid on my heart this morning for us to come to in closing in prayer before we worship with the last song is, first of all, if you need the revelation this morning, if you need the revelation, whether you're here in person or you're watching online, I want you to ask for it. I want you to pray and say, Lord, I need the revelation. I want to know that Jesus is Lord. I want it to be revealed to my heart this morning. I don't want it to just be head knowledge, but Lord, I ask for revelation. I ask that You would remove the blinders from my eyes. I ask that You would remove my spiritual blindness and show me who You are. Listen, there's nothing that Jesus wants more than to reveal Himself to you. I believe that with all my heart. There's nothing He wants more than to reveal Himself to you this morning. Some of you, you may be thinking about others. You know the Lord, and you're thinking about other people in your lives. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of times we pray for God to fix their behavior. I'm guilty of this as well. I'm like, God, tell them not to do this. Teach them, make them sick, whatever. Like, prevent them from doing something. But I want to tell you that I realize that when I pray like that, I believe that I'm in error. I believe that what I should pray for above all of those things is, Holy Spirit, reveal Jesus to them. Give them revelation of who He is. Because if they have that revelation, those other things will be taken care of. So if you have a loved one in your life that needs Jesus, maybe you've talked to them and they're just not open to it, or they just seem to be backsliding and never getting their life straight, let's pray this morning that Holy Spirit would open their eyes to who Jesus is. Give them revelation this morning. And this third thing is, these other names, these other names, these other things in our life that try to take root, they try to take hold, they try to become Lord because they grab all of our focus and all of our attention. Today I want you to call those things out by name. I want you to call them out by name, whatever it is for you. Maybe it's depression. Call it out by name and say, I only want you to say that name once. You call it out by name and then let it be, and then I want you to say, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the name above every other name. He is exceedingly, abundantly above the name of depression, the name of anxiety, the name of poverty, the name of addiction. He's above those things, not just a little bit. It's not that he barely has an edge on them. You've got to proclaim this morning that he's exceedingly abundantly above those things. That means he's farther beyond those things than what we can even imagine or put into words. And I believe as we begin to proclaim that out this morning, I believe that he's going to bring freedom to our lives. I believe that his word is true. And that when he says, who the Son sets free is free indeed, I believe that's a continual promise. I believe that's free from bondage. I believe that's free from our sin. I believe that's free from damnation to hell. But I believe that it goes indefinitely, that we can continue to receive freedom in one area after another and after another. We've got to submit to his name. We've got to submit to the name above all names. So Father, we ask that right now as we close in worship, as people begin to pray out and name these things or name these people, Lord, that need revelation, we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would have your way, that you would move in power in our lives. Lord, we're going to put our hands up and surrender as we lift up these names, as we call them out. We're going to declare, Lord, that we surrender to you, but we do not surrender to the names of afflictions and diseases. We only surrender to you. You are the Lord of Lords. You are the King of Kings. There is none like you. And Father, I believe that as we do that in the name of Jesus, I believe Holy Spirit's going to bring freedom to our lives today. We're going to declare it. We're going to worship. We're going to receive freedom. We're going to walk out of here changed and set free and on fire for you because you are worthy of it all.